Welcome to our reflections for Trinity Sunday. Before I begin, I wish to state that I've relied more than usual on a wide range of sources in preparation for this, and that has challenged me, and I hope it will challenge you, and even if it doesn't challenge you, it'll bless you in some other way. So now may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. From our Hebrew Bible, the prophet of Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. And seraphs were in attendance above him, and each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew." Now these are, in our culture, very strange images. But where do our images of God come from? And how are they shaped? And what are they now? And do we even think about that? The Isaiah vision of God sitting on a throne, high and lofty, served by attendants, is in line with the vision of God for most Western Christians, a powerful emperor figure. And in fact, today's Psalm 29, an enthronement psalm, is very much in that same line of thinking. But is such an image fueled perhaps more by the Roman god Zeus, from which the Latin word for god, Deus, was derived all those many centuries ago? Our image of God matters. It matters because it shapes our spirituality, how we pray and how we read the scriptures. But it matters also because it affects how we live. So the Trinity today, the language of the opening verses of Genesis, really, of the whole Bible, is "let us create in our image," uses a plural pronoun. Now, it took Christianity a long time to formulate a doctrine of the Trinity, despite this plural pronoun. The context in which Christianity was born was, of course, Judaism, but then also the Roman and Greek influences of the empires. Judaism is monotheistic, and the Romans and the Greeks both had multiple gods. And these were the background to early Christians. So as they formulated their own doctrines, these would have been the influences. But then finally, in a remarkable and surprising piece of lateral thinking, taking from the Greek theatre, perichoresis, literally a sort of circle dance, was used in an attempt to describe the Trinity. In such an image, of course, there is no hierarchy, there is no pyramid. And the Father at the top, the Son below that, and the Spirit, where would you put the Spirit? Below that still, or somewhere in the middle? Of course, in a dance, any dance, but a circle dance, there is creativity, but it's also fluid. In such an image for Trinity, Trinity as dance, Trinity as relationship, Trinity as community. So God is here not three separate dancers. God is the dance itself. God is the flowing movement, not three statues. And we, in our turn, take part in the dance in body and mind and spirit. And with this image of God, of the Trinity, how do we now view prayer and scripture reading? And how now do we view how we relate to others who are also in the dance? Let me return briefly to two problems which might resolve themselves if we bring ourselves back to God as dance, ourselves as invited participants in that dance. So firstly, hierarchy, and then secondly, community. So hierarchy, unlike the dance, a pyramid, a hierarchical pyramid, is static, immovable. God, of course, will be at the peak of such a pyramid, and then men, and then women, and below that, all the people who are different to us, whatever that means. And throughout human history, what has such a hierarchical pyramid given rise to? It's given rise to racism and misogyny and the caste system and homophobia and xenophobia, and on the list goes. And there's a wonderful example of this. In the hymn, "All Things Bright and Beautiful," much loved at weddings and in primary schools and also at Rogation and Harvest, there's a verse that most hymn books have now taken out, which says, "The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate," and here's the dodgy pyramid theology coming up, "God made them high or lowly and ordered their estate." Now, the hymn writer Cecil Alexander lived at the time of the potato famine in Ireland, when 1 million people died of starvation and 1 million more emigrated to the United States to avoid eviction or themselves also dying of starvation. And the rich man in his castle was then the Protestant Englishman, and the poor man at the gate was the starving, evicted Irish peasant. Such examples, historical though they are, remind us why our images of what God is like, what Trinity is like, and how we relate to that, these things matter. And they don't just matter in history, they matter today as well. So I then want to come to the second word. We've had hierarchy. Let's come now and visit community. This is a powerful dimension of the circle image, of the dance image of Trinity. Western individualism has reversed or rejected a Trinitarian understanding of community. And we have seen some destructive tensions at work in the current pandemic, where individual freedoms are in direct conflict with the well-being of others, where individuals have been asked to make sacrifices for the sake of society. And most have embraced that, but of course not all. The same is being played out again in vaccinations, the actions of some individuals being a health risk to others, the actions of some individual nations being a health risk to the global community. Staying with community, in the African concept of Ubuntu, we learn and see that a person is a person through other people, not in isolation by themselves. And our value, though given to us by God, our value is based on relationships with other people. So an organist shines most when there are people to listen and appreciate the playing. A parent shines most when the children are there, not when they have been taken away. A colleague shines most when working collaboratively, not when putting other colleagues down in order to draw attention to the self. And so it continues. Think of your own examples. Ubuntu, the dynamic in the dance we call Trinity. We are most fully ourselves in relation to other people, being most fully themselves. We could easily take this concept of Trinity as the circle of dance of love into a renewed relationship with creation as well. Renewed because clearly what is in place now is not working. The most common understanding of our relationship with creation is back to that same hierarchical pyramid, with God at the top, then humans, and then the creatures below us. And such a view is called dominion theology, and it comes from a particular interpretation of verses such as Genesis 1:28 and Psalm 8:6. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then the psalm, you made him ruler of the works of your hands. You have placed everything under his feet. And such theology has led to incredible destruction of biodiversity, the unravelling of the web of life. And in my lifetime and many of yours, more than two-thirds of the populations of the wild animals have been destroyed, and the oceans have been filled with plastic, and vast areas of rainforest have been burnt down. Our relationship with nature is bleak. Such reading of scripture and how it shapes our view of God matters, because getting that wrong has led to such imbalance, has led to such an emergency. But here, Ubuntu, a sort of eco-Ubuntu, applies too. For we were not separate from creation. Humankind did not get a separate day when God made the world, but was created on the sixth day along with all the other animals. What is a joy that has emerged also in my lifetime is that we are now seeing and understanding more of the interrelatedness from atoms to galaxies to organisms. We are seeing similar dynamics to the Trinity, and science and faith both explore the mysteries of the universe, everything in relationship with everything else. I have a whole book on Trinity and physics, which I read during Lent about 3 years ago, if anybody wants to borrow that. In today's Gospel, we have possibly the most famous verse in all of Scripture. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Most of us have understood or been led to understand that world here means people. God loves people and sent his Son for them. But in the New Testament language of Greek, the word for world is cosmos. God so loved the cosmos that he sent his only Son. That has a whole different meaning, including now rather than excluding, away from hierarchy into a circle theology. Once we know what to look for, we see this broader community idea in other scriptures, some of the Psalms, some of the epistles, and then of course also St. Francis in his Canticle of Creation. He stands out in church history on this inclusive theology. And we could easily turn to some indigenous understandings of relationship within the created orders if we were to go in other parts of our world. So on this Trinity Sunday, we might embrace the image of a circle dance describing the Trinity, describing God. And such a dance draws in not only humans, but all of creation. Not in hierarchy, but in community, where all can flourish. So let me close with a poem by Meister Eckhart, 14th century German Dominican mystic. Do you want to know what goes on in the core of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit, and the whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us. How life-affirming to appreciate we have come into being as part of divine laughter and joy and exuberance, rather than being created in order to slot functionally into some allotted place in someone else's hierarchy. May our freedom and our laughter and our joy in turn give birth to hope and healing and faith and love. in those who have need of it.